This is Fresh Air. In South Central Los Angeles today, some people have phones and electricity, others do not. Some food has been donated, but lines to receive it are long. My guest, Sweet Alice Harris, lives in Watts, one of the neighborhoods in South Central affected by last week's uprising and the site of LA's previous riots in 1965. She is founder and director of Parents of Watts, working with youth and adults. Harris is 57 years old, the mother of 9 children and 13 grandchildren. Like many people who live in her neighborhood, last week's rebellion was no surprise to her. For 27 years, she's been listening to young people who feel that they're outside of the system. We called her at her office in Watts to find out what things are like there today. But first, I wanted to know why she started her first community group back in 1965.
Well, I started it in my home, in the housing project, during the time that we had had a riot. I knew something was going to happen, and I knew it was going to be drastic. I just didn't know it was going to be as drastic as it was. And then the next morning, seeing the blood run down the drain and seeing that we didn't have medical, no place for medical facilities, we didn't have anything. The women was having babies in the home and take so long to get an ambulance to come out. I just thought to myself, something has to be done. We're going to have to organize ourselves and to get our community back together.
What kind of damage in your neighborhood from the riots over the last weekend?
We have to go now to go with the closest gas place was Manhattan Beach. Now, that's a long ways.
So you're...
In other words, to go get some grocery now, if I had to get a cab, and I'm just saying this for your view in your head, because no cab come in here. We don't have cab services in here, and the bus services stops when it first get dark.
So you never had bus service?
We never had bus service
in your neighborhood after dark.
We don't have cab service, period. And the light rail, I think it was, we just got the blue line, but I think it cut off around 8 o'clock.
So
we don't have transportation here anyway, but if I had to go now to get some bread and I call a cab, it would cost me about $30 for them to take me there and back.
As you look out your window then, what do you see? How has your neighborhood changed?
It's depressed. More or less, people are standing out, you know, more or less wondering. I see the ones that had jobs. Their children didn't even go to school. So I know that, and they could have went to school today. So I know they are at a loss.
When did you go outside? When did you begin to...
I was outside when this was happening.
Were you talking to people?
Yes, we was trying. Well, actually, we knew this was going to happen. We'd sit here for about 3 hours praying and hoping that they wouldn't come back with that kind of a statement, that it wouldn't be, find them not guilty. We was getting phone calls. It looked like the air had quit blowing. Everybody was glued to a television. You couldn't talk without them saying, be quiet. Wherever you went, hush, 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 on the street, have the verdict come back yet? What was the verdict? And the minute the verdict come out, you walked outside. I walked outside, and I heard people screaming and hollering. Screaming, hollering, and cursing.
Sweet Alice Harris is founder and executive director of Parents of Watts, working with youth and adults. We'll talk some more after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Sweet Alice Harris is my guest. When the fires and the looting and the violence occurred at the end of last week, did you feel like it was 1965 all over again?
Well, no. I didn't feel like it was 1965 all over again. I sort of felt like they didn't listen. They didn't listen to us. So I didn't feel whether it was 1965. I just felt hurt because they didn't listen, and they have allowed this thing to come to this head. I know how hard it's been trying to get us this far. And I know we have set, it's a setback, but had they to listen to us, I even wrote a letter to President Bush's wife about 3 months ago asking if she would come down and they, if I could have a meeting with her. I said, I'll even come there. And they wrote me a letter and said her schedule was too busy. I put a letter in to Hillary Clinton 2 weeks ago and wanted to go there and talk to somebody because I knew this was going to happen. And I knew once it happened, then the community would be at a setback. But, hey, what you going to do when people won't listen to you?
What would you have said if you'd either spoken with Hillary Clinton or Barbara Bush?
I wanted them to come out and hear the community. And I felt like once they heard the grassroots, they heard the people that's hurting, they could give them some comfort word because I knew that that verdict had to come in. And I knew that we was keeping the young people quiet, waiting on the verdict. We were saying you will get justice. You will get justice, though, because we could have had a ride when Mike Tyson was put in jail versus Willie Smith. You know, all of this is comparison. Everything that happened, it was a comparison where one was freed and the black was gave time to. But I wanted them to come out and help us say it is some justice. You know, there will be justice. If we don't get it now, we will eventually get it, but they needed to hear some new voices.
I'm wondering, this is just looking at or from things I read in the paper and stories I saw on television, how much the looting and the fires had to do with justice and how much of it had to do with people taking advantage of a chaotic situation.
Now, what I'm saying is, I didn't say the burning and tearing up was right. I'm not saying that's right. But what I'm trying to say is, it was wrong for the leaders to make the people down here so angry till they was willing to tear up and burn up to be heard.
How do you suggest that the people of South Central Los Angeles or even the community leaders, the mayor and others, how do you suggest that they attract businesses back to the neighborhood? And is that part of the solution?
You see, every young man can be trained to build. Young ladies can be trained to build. When the freeway came through and they told us they was going to hire people from the community, they fixing up the housing project. They said they going to hire people from the community. But you know the way they got out of it? They're not trained. We can't hire them if they're not trained. We've heard companies that tell us we're in business to make money. And we can't hire them if they're not trained. But if you send me some trained, we'll hire them. They knew that before they got the contract. So what we need is apprenticeship. If they're going to build it up, let the people here build it up. Let the young folks build it up. Don't send no more million-dollar companies in here to build it up, because by the time they get it built up, it'll be another 20 years, and you'll be building it up again.
What kind of a summer are you anticipating? And when
long, hot summer.
I was going to say, it's going to get hotter, kids are going to be out of school.
Well, they're going to turn the fire hydrant on, because see, when you don't have anything, you know, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. They were going to have to swim in the gutter anyway because they don't have nowhere else to swim. This every summer is a long, hot summer because they don't have no recreations. They don't have no swimming pools here. So it wasn't going to make no difference for that part. The part that's going to make a difference is the people that was working in the stores that was burnt down. Now, that's added on to what was already. And bad, that's added on too, because they could take their children out of the community to recreation centers and to swimming pools. Now, they won't be able to take their children. Now, their children got to swim in the gutters.
Do you think anything good is going to come out of this situation?
If it get the top leaders to listen, if it get them to listen and help the surviving people, then we don't mind suffering. Because all we are, I've done all this, living for the day that the leaders will listen and make a difference for the young people. You see, I'm old. I don't have another 25 years. I'll be going on home. But somebody will be here. And young people are going to be here as long as the world, the earth is here, because they're being born every day. They need a chance. They need to feel like they belong in America. Now, if you can't feel like you belong here, then maybe we need to talk about going somewhere else. But somewhere down the line, we got to belong. We got to feel like we part of America.
Sweet Alice Harris is founder and executive director of Parents of Watts, working with youth and adults.